It's extraordinary. Time continues in its own way. We can actually say, as the news will be bursting in upon us in a matter of seconds, it's time. It's just shifting in its own way. Jean Bruce Scott is actually with us at present. Hello, Jean. How are you?
Hi, I'm great, Alex. How are you?
We're delighted to touch base with yourself. And as we said, we'll be focusing on your time with Don Belisarius, Airwolf. I mean, I thought I should be more into Magnum PI, in fact, Darren. But no, you were always Airwolf, it would seem.
It was always about the lady.
It led you into the RAF. We'll find out about a whole range of things. Where exactly are you at present, Jean? Because we know you're on the road, but where on the road are you?
I'm down in San Diego. I've pulled into a parking lot because it's pouring rain, and I was trying to get away from the swoosh of other people's cars. So I'm safely ensconced in a parking lot in San Diego.
Well, you stay safely ensconced there, Jean, for a matter of 2.5 minutes, and we will be back with you with all sorts of other magical scenarios. And let's hope we can actually send some positive vibes to make the rain go away as well. You know, so we'll work on that as we head to the news, of course, from the Sky News Centre.
The latest news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Cleveland's first community radio station.
Hello, this is Jean Bruce Scott, co-founder of America's Native Voices at the Autry, and you're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the midweek drive for Siren FM.
You know, Jean, it still gives me chills even today with that with that ident. You know, recorded in Studio 1B. The delivery. She did it in one take as well, of course. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Professional. Woo! Yes, exactly. That's why she's co-founder of Native Voices and an all-round wonderful soul, etc. But, Darren, as you know, since you first made your debut on the Midweek Drive, and when we played that ident, and you said, is that the Jean Bruce Scott?
Is that really her? Is that where she is now? I was, oh, my goodness. I could not believe it. Like, it just took me right back to my...
Caitlin O'Shaughnessy is still functioning and thriving in the
home. Oh, absolutely. And definitely on my Blu-ray player at home. I mean, that's, I watch it all the time. I can't get enough of it. I love it so much.
So, you're a filmmaker. When are you going to actually have the return of Caitlin O'Shaughnessy?
Well, you know, I've actually written a story for The Return of Airwolf, just since you asked, and it's all sort of contemporary about how we bring it back and go out and look at the world that we have today. It was a very Cold War when it came out, and it dealt with, you know, the Cold War threats, but now with the, you know, long word alert, but the asymmetric threat now, we don't know where the threat's coming from, all over the place, you know, and what better than, you know, String, Dom and Caitlin and the lady, you know, fixing and sorting all out. I mean, there's no better combination.
Are you up for this, Jean?
I would be very much up for that, but I think Phoenix is maybe the answer to those questions for you, Darren. I've seen the film and the short film, and I think that maybe Phoenix is the new answer.
Well, I'm so pleased you've seen it. Oh my goodness, I'm blushing. Wow, well that's amazing because that is, I mean, Airwolf was such a massive influence with the Phoenix. You know, a super helicopter, and we've got a super spaceship that goes from town to town, from place to place, and we have a male and female pilots in it, just like we had in Airwolf. You know, another influence there from the TV show. So I'm so glad you picked that up. Thank you. Absolutely, yes,
yeah.
Star, yeah, oh
more
my goodness.
More than that, you see, I kept it as a special surprise, shared as well.
Yeah, Star, I mean, exactly that, you know, she's there, she can fly it, she can fix it, she does everything, I mean, except like you know, Caitlin was, she was a pilot, fixing, doing all the things, very much part of the team, and I'm so glad you saw that and spotted that, so that's fabulous.
He's blushing, Gene.
I am.
Oh.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe it, yeah, it's awesome.
Yes, from
well, I was just so excited to see it, and I absolutely see some of the things that grew out of Airwolf, but you've taken it that much further, and I'm always, always excited to see a female pilot in the cockpit and standing shoulder to shoulder with her male counterparts. That always makes me happy.
Yeah, I mean, and Star is that. Yeah, definitely. I mean, she has her own unique powers that Jason as well, and Jason sits in one seat, she sits in the other. She's a starlight child. She has her own powers. You know, she's the one that fixes the Phoenix. Jason can't do that. Jason has his own abilities as well, but it's them together, and the Phoenix as well, working together. That's the only way it works. And in the future, the feature we've got lined up that we've scripted, Star does an enormous amount of work, especially in the first third basically getting everything moving. She has to rescue an old friend. But she's growing up too. That's the other thing, because she's very young, Star. She's only like 18, 19. So, you know, she's still figuring out the world for herself. And at the same time, she's got this awesome responsibility of trying to fix the galaxy with Jason and the Phoenix. So there's a lot going on.
Excellent, excellent. And the special effects are also quite wonderful.
Thank you. The guys worked really hard. There's only two guys. Two guys worked on that. Airwolf fans and sci-fi fans as well, and working in their bedrooms in the evenings and in their flats and stuff, and having day jobs. So we've worked. It took about 18 months to make that short. So
In addition to the special effects, did they also do the digital work on it, or was that a different team?
Oh, right, yeah. So we had live-action visual effect people on the day, so the fire and the smoke on the day.
Yeah.
There were one set of guys, obviously, yeah. And then we had the digital effects in post. There was 185 digital effects in that 25-minute
wow.
film. I know, tons. Oh. Yeah, they did such a good job.
Yeah.
It was only supposed to show the Phoenix in one shot, but when we built the model, when we computerized it, we thought, well, it looks so cool, we're going to have to do some more. So it was meant to finish like 6 months after we filmed, but actually, once we saw the Phoenix, and we wanted to fly like Airwolf, like super low and super cool.
Yeah.
So we watched a lot of Airwolf for influence as well, just to see how they did it. I mean, the flying in Airwolf was fabulous, because that was real, wasn't it? It wasn't digital,
it wasn't
CG, you know.
No.
Fabulous,
no.
Absolutely awesome
that
to
was
watch.
Davy Jones and his crew. It was absolutely fantastic flying, yeah. Yeah. Now, did you design the model of the Phoenix?
Yes.
Did I
yes.
see that or read that somewhere?
No.
Oh,
yeah, I designed that. Yeah, from Lego. It was actually I designed that model
oh,
at the
no.
time. I designed the Phoenix. I built it first. Built it when I was uh-huh. watching Airwolf when I was a lot younger. And then it sort of sat there, and eventually I started getting to films and stuff, and I was in the RAF for a time as well, and sort of combined both that and the story of the Dark Wave together. To make what you saw, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
Amazing. That is so exciting. How old were you when, if I may ask, when you were watching Airwolf first?
I was about 12. Yeah.
Oh, how fantastic.
Yeah. I used to watch it every Saturday. It was awesome.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
You see,
that's exciting.
Gene, you have inspired the next generation of filmmakers. And I'm already thinking at this particular stage, we must be able to work Caitlin O'Shaughnessy's character or an equivalent. Shane Room was actually, you know,
easily.
These two,
oh, my
Gene
goodness.
Gene Bruce Scott and Randy Rauchholz in the same
oh,
movie.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Whoa. Absolutely.
I think the scripts are being worked and churned on even as we speak.
Scrawling right now. Absolutely.
Exactly.
No, I have to be the woman that I can an archangel type character now.
Yeah.
So, oh yes.
So I have to be yes. So who was it? Is it Money Penny who's in Bond is back
yes.
back in the office?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Quite a mature woman who's now sending Jason off on.
Well, yeah, because your character would have seen the universe before the Dark Wave took place.
Oh.
Jason was too young.
Yes.
The Star was born after the Dark Wave took
yes.
place. So she knows the before. She'll know all about the Ministry. You know, like you have the firm.
Oh.
So the firm knows about the government and everything
yes.
else. You know, so you would know what is going on under. But you can't tell them everything.
Absolutely.
Because that would obviously affect, you know, all the things that would go on. So you would know what's going on. That's a mysterious figure that pops in and out and just gives us the lowdown ready for the next adventure. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Yes, I love that.
I'll speak to your agent.
we have Native American voices in the hut. It's sensational.
Yeah.
Natasha, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah. No. I never actually...
You've never seen Airwolf. No,
I've
give
never
yourself
seen
a treat.
Airwolf.
Download the whole sort of series. Watch it. As you can see there, the late, great Ernest Borgnine, Gene Bruce Scott, and, of course, Jan Michael Vincent there. A tremendous sort of show.
Yeah, I was just wondering what sort of synopsis we're working on in terms of the TV show, what the general plot was.
Darren.
Well, it was basically it was a supercopter. It was a prototype helicopter that was made by the government. It gets stolen, and Stringfellow Hawk has to go and get it back. And he finds it and he gets it back. But before he gives it to the government, he says, "You've got to find my brother Sinjin, who's missing in action in Vietnam, which is a war in the 70s." So the deal is that, but undercover all of that, he's doing operations for the firm under file A56-7W, which Gene might know about.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
It's a Mark 1 Plus Attack helicopter with awesome firepower, bulletproof, super defences. It flies under the radar, supersonic, can fly faster than anything else. And the Phoenix is exactly the same thing, you see. It's just this, in this world where you all have this sort of standard, Airwolf was just, oh my goodness, I can hear it now. Airwolf was so far above that, yes. You know, being used for good. And Jean's character, she was a police officer, and she gets introduced to Airwolf, but they're very sort of cagey about letting her into to the helicopter. But eventually, you know, her charm wins through, and Dominic.
How could you prevent Caitlin O'Shaughnessy from being able to pilot Airwolf?
I know.
It's there. It's all sorted. Tessa.
Alex.
Yes.
I have to tell you, you've spoiled me now. I can no longer do any interviews with you or anyone else unless Darren is on the show with me.
You're
too kind.
You're going to have to come as a package
deal. Yeah. It's me and Jean on either, I'm afraid.
There you go. Who would have thought, you know, after all these years, Jean, suddenly there's a rider put up there. She'll be running great people in all sorts of scenarios. It's amazing. Tessa.
I'm the same as Natasha. I haven't...
Well, you won't do a show without it. I don't know, Carol.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it, but it sounds really good, that music, kind of.
Oh, the music is awesome. Really the music good, is fabulous. Yeah, really I mean, good. The way that the music was written, you have that sort of, you can hear the helicopter in the music, you know, the rotor blades spinning.
Yeah.
We'll have to go back to my place afterwards. We'll go back to my place. We'll watch. We'll have a marathon box set of Airwolf, definitely.
I'll have to check it out.
And
I actually heard a little bit of the lady scream in Phoenix when she came up.
Yes, it's there.
And
I can't believe it.
Calling Phoenix she or he?
I'm not sure at the moment. Perhaps the Phoenix will choose, because it is alive. It is sentient, and that could be. And it has its own conflict as well. It's designed to destroy organics. So you see the child at the end, little Ben, who's my son actually.
And he's on stage in a few moments.
So the Phoenix has no gender yet, but that's something that Jason and Star could kind of argue about. Perhaps about, you know, is it a he or a she? Where does it go? But you're right, the scream is there. And also, you hear the eagle scream from when Jan Michael Vincent, when Stringfellow Hawk's living in his little log cabin, and you have that bald eagle flying over. That's the same screech.
I'll have to go back and listen for that.
It's the same
I
one.
That
yeah.
Part.
Yeah, it is the same one. That was my homage. Yeah. Yeah, and A56-7W also appears. There's lots of little homages to Elf in the Phoenix.
It was just showing that ultimately, you know, what Belisarius was setting up in the 80s still resonates in the 21st century. Obviously, you see, at the time, little did you know you were inspiring the Darren Scales of the Year of the world, not only to join the RAF, but also to effectively produce good quality movies as well. It's a win-win.
Always love to hear that.
Well, it's a success. Shall I bowl in the budget question, do you think?
You can, by all means.
Gene, how much do you think, from your Hollywood scenarios and producing things, etc., how much do you think the Dark Wave effectively cost in terms of, or the Drift? In terms of budgets, in terms of dollars, what would be your ballpark guess?
Oh, my goodness. Boy, that's a hard one. Definitely difficult. $400,000.
$400,000. That's around about £200,000 and so on. Thereabouts, Darren, the correct answer is...
The budget for Edge of the Storm was £4,500.
Just under $10,000.
I think that Belisarius better get in touch with you to start making whatever he's making.
There we are.
Because he's paying way too much.
This is the point we made on Sunday with Daphne Ashbrook and JAG and NCIS and the whole scenario from that point of view. You can have genius on a
shoestring.
It can be done.
Oh, my goodness. So, wow, that's incredible.
So when you're looking for a filmmaker to produce some Native American voices in top quality form, etc., got a go-to person.
Give me a call.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Has the weather improved, Jean? Is it still raining in San Diego?
It is only sprinkling. It has actually slowed down.
See?
So for the rest of my drive, it'll be less hairy. It was a little frightening out there for a bit.
No, that's okay. We'll work our way through that process. And is Randy elsewhere in the state? Is he also on the road? Because we're going to try and reach him in a few seconds.
Yes, he is actually, he's also in San Diego, but he's in a different location. We should try to hook up with him as well.
That's what we're going to do, you see. It's Gene Bruscott and Randy Reinholtz. And I think it falls to Natasha. She's already kind of put the rider in, so I don't know what's going to happen on this one. But go for it. The last two questions for Gene Bruscott, please.
Gene, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
As always, yes.
Wonderful. And if we can kidnap Darren, will you be joining us again on the show sometime soon?
I will fly to Lincoln.
In the lady.
She's even sat in this very chair, yeah. Darren.
Oh,
in terms
my
of
word.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So
it's, and it's high time that Gene Bruscott and Randy Reinholtz flew back over the Atlantic Ocean and got back in touch with us. It's great stuff.
Come see the Phoenix.
A round of applause for Gene Bruscott, please.
Thank you.
And drive carefully.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Okay, Darren, I think it's almost time where you'll be actually vacating the studio. Have we got a few moments? Or what's,
yeah, no, I need to run. Yes. I have a show to catch.
Exactly. And it'll be a splendid show indeed.
Yes, yes, it will. I'm sure my son will not let us down.
Do we have a name for his character in terms of...
Do you know, I've not even seen Guys and Dolls. Oh. Everyone tells me it's really cool and great and funny and musical, but I know he's playing the lead dude. He's definitely a guy. Yeah, he's a guy, not a dog.
It's Randy Reinholtz. co-founder of America's Native Voices at the Autry. You're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the midweek drive for Siren FM.
And yes, he also did it in one take. You see, Randy Reinholtz and Gene Bruce Scott, they don't take any prisoners. They nail it straight from the off when it comes to quality stuff. Good morning, Randy. How's life in San Diego? Is it raining where you are? Because it was raining where Jean was in her part of San Diego land. Has it improved at all in your area?
Pieces of blue skies peeking through.
See what we've done there? The midweek drive showing the power of the positivity. We have blown away.
We've cleared the air.
We've cleared that air in every sense of the word. And believe me, there are certain senses of clearing the air that I won't even go there. But we've certainly sort of worked through that process. And welcome Randy Reinholtz back to the program. Because obviously, Darren, who has headed off to see his son on stage now, actually, he's floated away because clearly, I mean, I can say, because Randy clearly has this sort of experience every day. You know, Gene Bruce Scott sends you onto a whole cloudy, floaty experience in a sort of airwheel scenario. But wonderful stuff. Randy, we didn't even have a chance to speak about native voices because Darren was so clearly sort of keen to sort of go into the minutiae of Airwolf and indeed currently rewriting part of his film so we can incorporate both Gene's character and have a special character written for yourself, Randy, because I think, you know, they've developed that whole process. We're going to keep the team together. So how's it going with native voices since last we spoke and shot the proverbial breeze across the Atlantic?
The show we had up last year in Los Angeles to La Jolla and then to Alaska, where it was the writer is from, and we got to play in the two major cities in Alaska, Juneau and Anchorage, and we also got to take it to a fishing village, and the village built the set for us, and we got a chance to play in the auditorium for the school, and it was a wonderful experience for everyone.
And just a reminder,
we have a show up in Los Angeles too, Barely Traceable, for one more week.
Fantastic. Just a reminder for the Midweek Drivettes and our listener, give us the theme once again of the show, which has been wowing audiences up and down the West Coast of America and getting to the stage where people in Lincoln, England will be saying, bring it to Lincoln, bring it to Lincoln.
It's a show where, it's a fish out of water show. A young man who is reared away from his culture, perhaps in a vacuum of any culture, American tale, if you will, goes back to his fishing village and it's a very small village. They work lots of manual labor. It's a Tlingit village where the language is alive, and the grandparents raise the child because of all the tragedy that's befallen the parents. And we learn Tlingit language and dance, and we sort of learn the village as the boy does. Conversely, he has a wonderful scene where he throws down a bunch of rap lyrics, and the kids in the village think he's fun, and the other kids addicted to professional wrestling. So we're, you know, sort of in 19th century pre-contact America and 21st century young people America.
Mm-hmm. And again, getting messages out there, which is the essence of good drama, good quality. Holly, thoughts, questions from yourself? As a filmmaker, given, you know, the huge topic that Randy and Gene obviously work with as far as native voices are actually concerned, any sort of comments in terms of your own maker as a young filmmaker? Always looking for stories.
Not yet. Can I come back?
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Randy hasn't got all the time in the world, admittedly. But, you know, this is the kind of way forward. You know, I'm sure you have the same challenges with your students at San Diego every so often. You think, where are we going? Tessa.
So is Native Voices a play or a film?
It's a company.
It's a company.
Exactly.
So when did this company begin, and how did you come about starting it? Just for a little bit of history.
Well, we began in the early 90s and then moved to Los Angeles in the late 90s, producing new plays by Native Americans. And Native Americans are excluded, or have traditionally been excluded, from American theater, perhaps by accident, but it's also by social design. So our stories have been erased from schools. So Europeans are just as likely to know as much about Native American history as people in the United States, which I suspect isn't a lot, but aware that it was something that happened. And
There were people living in America before the Europeans actually came. Good heavens.
Yeah, it's just 10,000 years, much like your own
Yeah, extraordinary. That's actually.
Yeah, it's wonderful you talking about getting Native Americans into the play, sort of, you know, the stage and all of that, because a lot of, I know, Western films and that sort of thing, you see a lot of misrepresentation with race. You'll often see a white person put in for a role that, you know, shouldn't necessarily be white, which is a real shame, actually. And looking towards the future, do you think that's slowly shifting now? You know, a lot of the racial inaccuracies, I mean, particularly with Asian films as well, there tends to be a lot of confusion with Chinese actors being put in for Japanese and that sort of thing. Do you think that's going to improve, hopefully?
Well, at least we have the conversation going about it and creating some awareness that we could do better if we wanted to. So I'm very optimistic that it could change, and then very aware of the draconian governments we've been electing and people who really want to drag us back to another way of thinking and living.
It's a very important point that you actually raised there, Andy, and I'm conscious you're going to have to head off. So I'm going to ask Tessa to put those last two questions to you. Go, Tessa.
Have you had a good telephonic link with us this evening? Well,
I love talking to the folks on the midweek drive.
Obviously this evening, but it's probably...
You know, Jean, on the other hand, not going to do the show unless we have Darren Scales on the whole
system.
Oh, I know. For goodness sakes. Extraordinary. You know, sometimes writers come in, so...
And will you be joining us on the show again soon in the near future?
It is my great hope to join you again.
And
by that time, I guarantee you, Holly will have a question articulated.
At least one
from that point of view. A round of applause for Randy Rinehouse, please. Yay!
Temptation took a hold of you. You gazed and gazed into the mirror, hanging from the bathroom wall, and then decided just exactly where it was you were going to. Given the opportunity, you'd strip me bare. Given the opportunity, you take me. I have nothing more to add. I have nothing left to say. So just go away. I'm throwing it all away. Do you remember the last time? Old temptation took you out for a spin. You arrived in, but nearly died in. Oh, the hurt and anguish you put your loved ones through. Given the opportunity, you'd strip me bare. Given the opportunity, you'd take me. Give me the opportunity.
if you consider the photograph that you might find on the Facebook page for Southside Broadcasting there, which features a young Kayleigh Carr sandwiched in between two fine folk from Spark FM, Siren's sister station, arguably, at the University of Sunderland, you will find, obviously, the awesomeness that is Kayleigh Carr from Sunderland, fashion expert, general person who, when we actually announced that Holly McGrattan was joining Kayleigh Umfraville on a train to London to deal with Lincoln Fashion Week, you could have heard the envy across the airwaves. Couldn't you, Kayleigh Carr?
You certainly could. How are you?
Exactly. Well, always delightful to have a Sunderland soul on with us, even though you're currently bottom of the Premiership, just 2 points behind Middlesbrough. It's okay. It's doom and gloom. But has your father given up the will to live? Of course he hasn't. He'd be having a season ticket for them next year, won't he?
Oh, I don't know. I've lost all my hope in them, to be honest.
And there we have it. And there we have it. I've lost all my hope in them, to be honest. Pet, it's the echo of the sort of things which will need translating subtitles for Phil Dearness in Los Angeles. Holly, would you like to share with Kayleigh and increase her levels of envy at what sort of things you got up to at the London Fashion event for Lincoln Fashion, which, of course, comes up very soon?
Oh, yeah, very soon. I was lucky enough to get one of the last tickets to a
first class
Virgin train with
courtesy of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and Sarah Bullimore.
Yeah, so that was fun, and we went to
London.
Yeah,
it's a place at the end. capital of the country.
No, I can't remember
often
where
in the news.
London.
Exactly.
But went to the festival, so it was the last day, and it was all kind of like freebies going around. There was a really cool lecture on the history of Diane's.
It's Princess Diana, of course.
Yeah, Princess Diana, of course.
Exactly.
And
good. Late.
Her like top 20 most controversial kind of dresses, really. Mm. That was interesting, and just a lot of people buying their year's clothes.
it's an aspect of your dissertation that even with your online project, which we'll find out about in a few seconds, Natasha, were you familiar with obviously the controversy over Diana's outfits?
I haven't as much gone into what she's wearing. It comes up a little bit with Kate because I'm obviously comparing Kate and Diana as part of my dissertation.
Media coverage of them both in many ways.
Yeah, but I know I haven't gone into the fashion aspect, and I know that's something Richard Fitzwilliams, bless him, when I spoke to him about it on the phone, he said, bring in the fashion. Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah.
You could unwrap a pretty puzzle with it in many ways, really. To get a blog spot, of course, from that perspective. See what I did there, Kayleigh? You know, always on your side, always promoting the blog. Did we get the right address for you, by the way? It's...
You certainly did, yeah, that's correct.
Unwrapaputtypuzzle.com. There's a satellite delay between here and Sunderland. It is like 200 chunks away from the whole sort of system. It's a kind of online thing. Kayleigh, would you like to find out what Natasha's online work is all entailing and what her online project is? I mean, I sense you would, Kayleigh. I'm getting that message. What do you think?
I certainly would, yeah. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Check out as well.
Kayleigh needs the information, Natasha.
So I'm currently working on a student project. It's a group of three of us. We do all our own filming, all our own, you know, social media, and set up our site. We're going around all the different societies at the uni. We're trying to prove to people that anyone can get involved in anything. Do you know what I mean? Any beginners, just have a go. Just get out there and have a go. I've been shot with paintballs. I've learnt to swim butterfly. I've been attacked by Nerf guns. I've tried to learn how to use an Xbox controller. Still all just looks like a confusing mess to me. If you want to have a look at that, you can go to hashtag GetTheBuzz, or you can go to our website, which is getthebuzz.wixsite.com/getthebuzz.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Sounds all fun and games for you.
Yeah, it is great fun, and I likewise will have to check out your blog because I am horrific with fashion and need all the advice I can get, really.
I like to feel of it as putting the meaningfulness and connections together. Oh, Natasha, you're on the front cover of Get the Buzz with, quite rightly, the words, "Welcome to Get the Buzz, Lincoln." Interesting you said being shot by Nerf guns, because obviously I find getting shot by Smurf guns even worse. But let's not talk about that, because they're blue and they go all crazy, and Papa Abraham is in a whole new world, really. So, it's a different line. Social societies, home, etc. So there we are. It's your task to actually sort through, Kaylee, for when next you come on the programme, which shouldn't be too long. Of course, the dream is put Kaylee Carr together with Kaylee Umphreville. You have Kaylee squared.
Look at that.
You ain't going out. And more Kaylees in all sorts of ways coming through, from my point of view. But as Phil Leonis is waiting his turn, and quite rightly so, because last week, obviously, very important meeting of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, It falls to Holly to put those last two questions to Kaylee, who has had another petite but nevertheless perfectly formed phoner from Sunderland.
Kaylee, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have, as always, yeah.
Has it brightened the skies across Sunderland then?
Just about. It's been horrible all day. I decided to take a trip in my parents' caravan to spend the afternoon with them, and we've just been absolutely battered with rain, so I couldn't even go out anywhere. It was horrendous.
But have we improved it over the course of the last sort of few telephonic link pieces? Has it improved?
Surprisingly, it's actually stopped for the first time today as well, so that's good.
That's what you see. You want to have a holiday? Then call us now. The Midrake Drive can actually solve your weather problems at the drop of a radio link.
We could change the weather.
Yeah. Carry on, Holly.
And will we be hearing from you soon now you know our powers?
Oh. That's just one of them, of course.
Well, I'd love to.
The all-seeing eye is a whole new world.
And I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Cross 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free. Woman trying to catch a trick on the street. You get it. Across 110th Street. You can find it all in the street. Ooh. I got one more thing talk to you about right now. Hey, brother, there's a better way out. Shorting that coat, shooting that dope man, you're copping out. Take my advice, it's either live or die. You got to be strong if you want to survive. The family on the upper side of town will catch hell without a ghetto around. In every city you'll find the same thing going down. Harlem is the capital of every ghetto town. Let me sing it. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free. Trick on the street, ooh baby, across 110th Street, you can find it all.
presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
Phil Lynn, as being the consummate professional he is, of course, sent me an email saying, call me on his mobile, which I've actually now read. But we ignored that in any case and went landline, and he's here. Yay! Phil Lynn, welcome back to your slot on the Midweek Drive.
Congratulations on being such a professional that you knew you could ignore that email and reach me on the number where I feared
we can control
I would
the weather.
Be,
we can do all sorts of things on that scenario. Did you manage to catch Carl Frantz's debut on the Midweek Drive when he ably sat in for your good self last week by any chance, Phil?
No, I did not.
Well, it's all
I
there.
Did not.
It's all there to be downloaded together with, as I'm sure Holly will attest to, a special name check for Phil Leonis.
Oh, that's lovely. Yes, Carl Two Guns Frantz is a he's quite quite an interesting cat, isn't he? And he has a voice for radio.
Well, you know, it all works together, and in fact, Hannah is off with her box set of The Prisoner. Penny Evans, of course, sent in a link, and she's watching The Prisoner as well, so it'll all be connected. But the other exciting
news...
We're
shaming... For the 50th anniversary, we're shaming people into watching The Prisoner one person at a time.
Exactly. And not only did we have Gene Bruce Scott making Darren's day, I think it's fair to say, having watched Darren's movie, having sort of talked about the revivification and renewal of Caitlin O'Shaughnessy and taking over the role of Archangel and so on, I think Darren is still going to be enjoying his son's performance, but somewhere... There'll be a smile on his face, really.
I think it made his year, never mind his day, bless.
He's
what
very
about?
Happy.
What about? Because Sue Royce, another ace Midweek Drivette, next week will actually be appearing on Come Dine With Me. You say it's that programme, that's television programme. In fact, I was so excited in this particular area that she actually said she's happy to come and talk about it on the programme. Shiver TV have actually said that the Royce's episode of Come Dine With Me actually is going to be televised during the Midweek Drive. So you're going to have television brought in here somewhere to look at it.
In that corner right there, or, yeah. So we can talk
bring
and watch.
Bring a ton of which effectively will be talking about the whole range of excitements there. As far as Come Dine With Me is actually concerned, that's Wednesday, 29th of March, 5 p.m. at Channel 4. So I should talk about the various other things. I don't know. Do you know the format of Come Dine With Me, Phil, in the States? Has it crossed your radar at all, or is it one where we kind of need to just I need to hand over to Natasha to explain exactly what it is?
Yeah, it has not come across my radar. I don't know what it is. That does not mean, of course, that it isn't a gigantic success here in the States.
NCIS, Los Angeles. It's another sort of area that we could encounter. I think Phil would have appreciated and will appreciate when it's online as a podcast he can download my discussion about JAG with Daphne Ashbrook on Sunday.
Yes, I definitely think he would have done.
Particularly her response about how she can or not engage with directors who effectively get her crying all day and then effectively put her into stress mode to cry even more when they open the door.
And then slam the door in her face.
It's not a happy directorial crew there. Not the sort of thing you get on The Truth Is Out There, or The Lady Killers. That was what Phil was doing.
No, indeed. Indeed. You know, that's the thing that a lot of directors, because most directors actually have never acted. In fact, I was struck, even as a very young man out of film school, in visiting different sets, realizing that there, for most directors, even then, there was at least one major facet of production in which they were totally inexperienced. And you can kind of break it down to think about what the director is responsible for, right? Performance, story, the visuals. And it doesn't mean as a director that you have to be able to thread a film camera or be able to lens a shot or know what f-stop you should be at or any of these things or light a scene. It doesn't mean a director needs to know that, but it sure doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that a director has to be able to act, but being able to communicate with an actor in their language certainly doesn't hurt. Just like you don't have to be able to write the script, but understanding story structure sure doesn't hurt. These are the jobs of a director. And when it comes to actors especially, you know, this idea that actors should be anything other than relaxed is so surprising to me. And I guess it's counterintuitive for people who don't have experience with acting, but But even if you're playing someone who's very stressed, someone who's very tense, a tense and stressed actor can't play that. Because when the more we tense up, the more we stress out, the more we're blocking things. And all you see on screen is someone who's blocking something then, and instead of expressing something. So it's really important to maintain a relaxed set. There tends to be a lot of laughter on my sets, even in when we're doing some of the darkest scenes. And sometimes you need to maintain a certain tone that will lend itself to exploring some of the more emotional moments, and you keep it a little bit more low key. But boy, it has to be relaxed, and it has to feel safe, because this is very vulnerable work a lot of time that actors are doing, and they need to be able to feel safe to do that vulnerable work.
And that is one of the reasons you are a regular on the program, much like Graham Harper. You see, we only have good, and Darren Scales, you know, positive thinking from that perspective. So, Holly, you don't have to get the whips out next time you want to get your acting things in form. But it is a crucial aspect that Phil has just rose, because let's face it, Holly, Hannah's not here today, but the two of you are going to be working with Patessa and others to put together Midweek Drivette's first ever 48-hour film challenge for Louis Savvy in this year's Sci-Fi London. Are you not, Holly?
We're going to give it a go. Yeah,
you,
hopefully.
Exactly.
It's going to be hard. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome, Phil. I mean, it's going to be tremendous. You know, no pressure, but they're representing both yourself in America and ourselves this side of the Atlantic. Midweek Drivette's enter into the 48-hour film challenge. Have you registered?
You know what? The 48-hour film challenge is the challenge with every single film. It actually will ultimately feel like for you. Even if you have 4 weeks of shooting, it still feels like you're in a 48-hour film challenge. It always does. There's never enough time. There's never enough money. And there are so many voices that tell you, we got to go faster, got to go faster, got to go faster. And you're always aware of how much there is to do. And so my advice on a 48-hour film challenge especially is not to give into that, not to give into that voice of got to go faster, got to go faster, got to go faster. Breathe, breathe, be relaxed, be calm. You will not have enough time no matter how fast you go. So you need to work smarter, not faster, always smarter. The less time there is, the smarter. And it's filmmaking and warfare, as Kubrick have said, are the two different pursuits where the people in charge never are given the time or never take the time to calm down and think things through rationally, which is why he was so drawn in his movies to themes of war so often. So just keep a clear head, keep calm, and better ideas have a way of coming to you that will then possibly save you time, but certainly save you work. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, that is very helpful. Thank you.
The other thing about it, too, is the more you speed up as the storyteller, the more everything you're watching, whether it be the actors performing a scene or the scene when you're editing it, will start to feel really slow. Like, wow, this is the pacing is really slow. The pacing's really slow on this. No one's going to like this. And that might be a product of how fast you're going, how fast your mind is going, how fast your heart is racing. It makes other things seem slower than they really are. And since pacing is such an important part of tone, and tone is the most difficult thing in storytelling, but it's the most important thing because it's what dictates how someone is going to end up feeling when they watch your work and when what they take with them from your work. So again, it's really important to give yourself permission to take a moment to calm down, to say, instead of, oh, we only have an hour left in the 48-hour film challenge, we only have an hour left, instead to say to yourself, I have all the time I need. I have all the time I need. Like, and then watch it through those eyes.
It's like a personal note from the universe for yourself, Holly.
It is kind of, isn't it? And that's good. And of course, I teach acting, I teach filmmaking, but any good teacher really is always either teaching something they've just learned or something they are still trying to learn. And I definitely sign up for that because you can always get better at doing what I'm describing. Always.
It's a perfect scenario. Much as, in many ways, the revolution or the reveal that next week for the postgraduate students, I shall be actually asking them to do a critique and a review of The Truth Is Out There. Yeah, I'll say that again. Truth Is
what?
Out There. Exactly.
What? Yeah, really?
Yeah, I will. You can even read the reviews.
Unheard
when
of.
They come through. I know, but, you know, I just feel in that generous sort of mood, much as you might feel when I ask you to ask Natasha how you can actually see 14 seconds worth of Natasha on a YouTube video with the Get the Buzz Lincoln scenario. I know, Phil, you're keen to find out from Natasha, you know, how you can actually find her and see her own stage presence.
So you're asking me to ask her?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You got the message there, sorted.
Yeah.
Good.
Natasha,
how can I see 14 seconds of you and not a second more?
Well, you can go to our YouTube channel. You simply type in Get the Buzz Lincoln, or you can go to our website, getthebuzz.wixsite.com/getthebuzz.
Not to be confused with Get the Fuzz, because that's obviously the name of Phil's cat.
So what will I get? What kind of buzz will I get in 14 seconds? And that just seems, very inappropriate. What kind of, what am I getting? If I'm giving you 14 seconds, what am I getting in return?
Loads of comedy entertainment. Not certainly for the 14 seconds, but there are some videos. Basically, the premise of the website is I'm learning to do various different hobbies in a bid to try and convince people that even if you're a complete beginner, you can just stand up and have a go. So you will comically see me learn butterfly, which I'm horrendous at. I look like a drowning dolphin, and various other hobbies.
So there are other segments available there?
Yes, paintballing video, our Nerf gun we did with the Assassin Society. I learned karate, just all random bits. And
I've got to say, Phil, just Natasha's use of her hands alone. she moves from open palm to thumbs up within a 10-second period. It's quite phenomenal. Dexterous handwork has to be, the buzzword, intended of the whole thing.
And these
it's the tool. It's the tools. Dexterous handwork is the tools of any effective broadcaster or communicator.
Yeah.
There's no question
Precisely. It's below the level up. It's sensational. It's great stuff.
Yeah, clearly much more so than careful word choice, as you and I just demonstrated.
We haven't been able to talk about Beyond 110th Street. I mean, people have even forgotten the tune.
Oh, my goodness, I have a story about... So, across 110th Street, yes. So, for those who don't know, I mean, it's a reference to Harlem. Harlem begins at 110th Street in New York City there. And a few years back, on a trip to New York, New York hotels were quite famously having a bit of a bed bug infestation, and that really creeped me out. I do not want to be required to go through a hotel room with one of those lights that they use on CSI or those kind of shows.
NCIS.
Yeah, to see what kind of creatures are living on the supposedly laundry.
They're just sharing our planet, that's all. They just want a bit of blood, that's all. A little bit of blood.
If you know anyone who's had bed bug experiences, I mean, that's really, really unpleasant. So, anyway, I didn't want to. So I was researching every possible accommodation in New York to, going through all the reviews to make sure that there had been no complaints, no reports about this. And I find this historic bed and breakfast in Harlem, where, among other things, Duke Ellington lived, where he married and lived. And I love historic buildings. And I think, well, this sounds great. This sounds really cool. No electricity for a lot of the time we were there. It was just miserable. I got as sick as I've ever been. So the only thing ultimately that I learned from staying, it was the most horrible experience staying anywhere ever. The two things I learned from it, if I didn't know already that Lily Holloman was a keeper, I knew it then because she did not complain at all about it. She knew I had learned my lesson. And the second thing I learned was apparently the bed bugs are scared to cross 110th Street just like everyone else, according to that song.
There you go. Exactly. We could have gone on to engage a discourse about Live and Let Die, but we won't. You know, we'll leave that for another time and another era.
Are you, by the way, are you in the UK on behalf of our former President Obama really surveilling President Trump? Is that true? That's what I want to know, because according to our president, right, the UK has been illegally surveilling him. Yeah. So, Alex, if anyone would know, it would be you. So is that true?
I was just going to say it has to be Natasha, who clearly has her finger across the pulse of it when it comes to transatlantic surveillance.
Yeah, I'm secretly a member of the Special Elite Forces. That's not meant to go out on
just,
air.
Just a parody, not to be taken seriously. We'll let you make of that what you will. It's a strange and bizarre. And
you know, our president, by the way, when asked about these things, our president, when asked to defend these wild claims that he makes, his response is, hey, I didn't say it. I heard it on Fox News. Or, hey, I read it in this magazine. That's his evidence, is that he read it somewhere. He's the president. He has access to all the information now, all the intelligence information. But the reason, and I bring that up because I guess we can expect that he's going to be quoting the Midweek Drive really soon. See? Well, it really did happen. Yeah, I heard it on the Midweek Drive.
Exactly. We've already spoken about Donald Trump with respect to Liz Brewer, who knew him of old, yeah, and has a whole range of things early in the programme. Check out the podcasts. Thanks to Cameron from Nashville, Anna Lewis from Jersey. The batteries will work next time, Anna, honestly. Liz Brewer, of course, with news on etiquette, protocol, and the aforementioned President of the United States. Gene Bruce Scott, of course. Randy Reinholtz. Darren Scales, and Kaylee Carr from Sunderland, and Phil Linus. Coming up next, we've got a whole range of Lucia and Fusion and marvellous sort of material coming through. And one of these days I'll keep the script up so I can remember the name of the programme. It's all happening its own way. Have you enjoyed the programme, Holly?
I have, yes.
Back tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Very good. Tessa?
Yes. I have. Oh, I've enjoyed the show.
First time in weeks you've actually done the full 2 hours, actually.
It is. Yeah, this year's been different. I was here every time.
And Natasha?
Enjoyable as always, Alex.
Marvellous. Next week, of course, The Return of Mr. Front. So get watching The Prisoner.
Yes.
Not be stamped, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. Phil will be back with us. So you've got Fronts and Phil on the same programme. Astounding. Phil, it's time to lead us in what we ended last week's show with, because obviously 50 years since the thing went through, not so much bye-bye, but those words, seeing you be, in some kind of order. A one, a two, a three.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.
Wonderful.
That was so
shall we try it together? A one, a two, a three.
Be seeing you. Be seeing you.